Good evening, Abbe Yossi. I don't know why, but I was thinking about Hanukkah a little bit today. And in my thoughts, I remembered something, and it just came into my mind. I haven't thought about this for years. I remember a sight, which I saw, and I just wanted to share it, because to me, now, 20 years later, it was very inspirational. I was in Meir Yeshiva, I was Zoche to learn in Meir Yeshiva, and I'm so grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I learned in Meir Yeshiva, and I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day, but I should really thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day for being in Meir Yeshiva, and I was there for quite a few years. And once, this was Hanukkah time, a friend of mine pulled me away, and he said, come, I want to show you something. He said, what do you want to show me? He said, come, I want to show you something special, won't forget it. I remember this conversation. This was a friend of mine who was a Magid Shina elsewhere since then. And he said, come with me. And I'm so happy that I listened to him. And I walked down the stairs, walked up, you know, where Meir Yeshiva is. I walked up till you hit the main road over there. And then you go on the right-hand side, you go up to Kikar Shabbos. Yeah, do you know where I am? On the left, you go towards the end of Me'ar Shorim and, you know, the way to the old city. And then there was like a little path. You go in on the back road, and then you go Rochof Chanan, which is the road where Avil Yashiv lived. Now, I remember that so clearly. I walked up the path. On the right-hand side is the house where Avil Yashiv lived. It's like this arch over there. I think it was white. And then on the back, you see it. There's Avil Yashiv's house. On top, the flat is where. And then down the stairs, and there's this archway. And then on the side, there was Avil Yashiv's menorah. And Avil Yashiv's menorah was in a little box. You know, the boxes that look like very common in Eretz Yisrael, the glass box because of the wind and the rain. These glass boxes. And here was Avil Yashiv's menorah. And that's what I remember so clearly. I remember him coming down and lighting the menorah. Exactly shkiv, very predictable when he comes down. He has this very beautiful voice. Avil Yashiv's voice was a very, very beautiful voice. A little bit high-pitched. Very, very nice voice. And he made it to brachas. And I wasn't there on my own. There was plenty of people who wanted to see Avil Yashiv. Apparently it's recorded and it's easily accessible as well to see it. And then I started making the brachas and going up the stairs. I remember that very clearly. And what I remember so clearly about this, and what is so deep and so important, is that Avil Yashiv went out, and the menorah was like in this glass box, and what's so special about the menorah, so unique about the menorah, and so powerful and so inspirational about the menorah, is that the menorah was... What was? No. The menorah was, there was nothing to it. It was the same menorah, so you can buy in the shop for £1.95. Do you know the ones? Those menorahs. That was Avil Yashiv's menorah. Those. And I tell you why this is so important to me. I feel it's such an important point. I remember him lighting it. Maybe it was the third night Hanukkah. And because we tend to think, whenever we think about mitzvahs, we tend to think about the around, you know, the colors around it, and the we think about the external things of the mitzvah. We tend to focus on the external. You know, you'd expect Avil Yashiv to have this golden menorah or this silver menorah. We'd expect him to have this amazing, grand, beautiful, sophisticated. No, he had the most simple menorah you can dream of. The simple, and that was just good enough for Avil Yashiv. Mahadrin? Yes, Mahadrin, the Gemara says, Mahadrin is to light every day one additional one. That's the Mahadrin Mila Mahadrin. That's how, and Shemin Zai is Zoch, the most mode of the goal. That's for Avil Yashiv. What's the, not these fancy candles and the fancy shamash and the fancy, none of that. Because for Avil Yashiv, what really counted was the essence of the mitzvah. What really counted for Avil Yashiv was the beauty of the fulfillment of the actual mitzvah per se. Not the colors around it, and the noise around it, and the chitzonius around it, and the external, just the mitzvah in its own. The beauty of the purity of the mitzvah in its own. That's what I saw then, that's what I experienced then firsthand. You don't need the, do you know what I mean? It's the mitzvah, the purity of the mitzvah. And that's what I saw then, and what I experienced then, and what I don't know. Because we often tend to focus on the external, that's right. And Avil Yashiv didn't need this. Avil Yashiv didn't need it. He didn't need to put on a big show, and it was just the mitzvah.
I've got a picture of the Rebbe's life, and there really is this big...
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so the truth is, in my mind, It's probably an element of hiddur in it. Mishnaburim seem to remember in Tofresh Hain Beis in Hilchas Chanukah, it does say that there's a hiddur mitzvah in having a menorah. So there is something to it. But the point is that it is, we tend to focus directly on that. That's normally when we look at that initially, and then the rest. And it could be there's a hiddur in it. Yeah, perhaps there is an hiddur in all that. But perhaps yes, perhaps not. A lot of the things out there in the market nowadays is not a hiddur mitzvah. It's not including a hiddur mitzvah. But that's after you've done the heart of the mitzvah, you can add additions. But that's just the external, that's the outside. It's very interesting. I think that when we look, you open up any newspaper, any magazine, any advertiser, it's packed and packed of items for Yom Tovim. Whichever Yom Tov it is, look out for sukkahs. It is like, you know, everything is out there. What they're selling nowadays is incredible. Incredible. You look Pesach, for weeks the advertisers are packed of. You dream it, and you think it's unbelievable. Chanukah, Yom Tovim, the Mishlach Manos, you know, like £400 of Mishlach Manos. Yeah, it's all very, very nice, very good, perhaps. But where's the heart? We tend to value the wrong. The focus is on. That's what I remember now, some 20 years after experiencing firsthand. Okay. But I said, we learned yesterday, Simon Shin Chav Ches, Din Chole B'Shabbos. We're continuing tonight a little bit with more halachas in this area. I want to add two lines in Mishnah Bosef Cotton Vav, which we didn't mention yesterday. And I want to, I feel it's really important. The last two lines, the last sentence of the Mishnah Bosef Cotton Vav tells us what happens. If the Chole himself, if a person is, we're talking about Chole Sheyesh B'Sakon again. We mentioned a few levels. Chole sheyesh bo sakana, chole shein bo sakana, and meichesh be'alma. This is really important. That's the key that we need to remember throughout the entire sim. And again, chole sheyesh bo sakana is what? Pikuach nefesh. Yeah, that's dangerous. Then comes the level underneath. Chole shein bo sakana. What's that? Not life threatening, but ill, but not life threatening. Then comes the level underneath that, which is a mechash ba'alma, which is a slight, there must be a good English word for that. A slight unwellness. What's the English? There must be a word for it. When you're slightly unwell, a bit under the weather. Yeah, it's under the weather, yeah. But there must be a medical term, a more scientific terminology. Somebody is not ill health. Ill health, is that what it is? Yeah, okay, something. Mechash ba'alma, it's certainly not dangerous. It's not even ill, but it's not feeling quite. So that's a mechash ba'alma. Underneath that is a bore, somebody as well. So these are the levels. Now, the Mishnah Berurah now asks, what's the halacha if a person what if the person is a Cholei Sheyesh B'Sakon and he wishes to push off to the Motzei Shabbos.
Yesh boy or
shein boy? Yesh boy. Say that again. Chole sheyesh b'sakana. Don't see to me yet. Wait an hour. Wait an hour until Motzei Shabbos. Don't do the chal. Mishlebu reminds of this halacha. Im achole ve'atzmo misyare, sheyavu lo Motzei Shabbos. Koyfin oyser, we force him, medabrin aliboy, we speak to his heart, shu chasidu shel shtos, it's chasidu shel shtos, chole not to delay somebody, and not, you have to see to it straight away. Chole sheyesh b'sakana, even if he wants to wait till Motzei Shabbos, you don't listen to him, and you will do Chilul Shabbos immediately on Shabbos itself. Siv Gimel, Rabbi Yisai, bottom line or page Kuf Samach Gimel. Kol mako shel chala. Any mako shel chala. Now we're defining what is going to chole sheyesh b'sakana. Besides the obvious cases, the Mishnah Berurah is telling us a little bit more about what is considered a chole sheyesh b'sakana. What's a pikuach nefesh case? Kol mako shel chala. Anything which is an internal illness, makosh chalal chalal, which means a hole, so which means which is there within internal illness. Kol mako, any wound which is internal, dahainu meashinayim belifnim. Now Mishnah Berurah defines. I understand what it means internal in terms of the majority of our body, you know, everything which is within, which we can't see basically, is makosh chalal. What about the mouth? What is considered internal? When it comes to the mouth, how do you define it? What's internal when it comes to the mouth? From where onwards? Teeth. That's exactly what Shulchan Aruch says. Kol makosh shel chalal, dehainu mishanayim velifnim. Anything when it comes to the mouth, anything the lips is external. That wouldn't be considered makosh shel chalal. But anything from the teeth inwards is considered a makor shel chalal, and that would be therefore considered and the teeth itself is also considered a makor shel chalal. Mechalalin oleh Shabbos, that's considered a cholish yesh b'zakon. Any, Rabbi Yisai, any internal defect, any internal makor wound is considered a pikuach nefesh. I think we can appreciate that. With regards to the mouth, anything from the, it's called a bleeding or anything which is from within, deeper, further internal from the teeth is also considered makor shel chalal. We can hear that. And mechal of Shabbos, and that will allow a chil Shabbos. Interestingly, the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch points out also the teeth themselves as well. So Rabbi Yisai, teeth issues, severe teeth issues, is considered a makor shel chalal and will be considered pikuach nefesh. To the great how should I say this? Not disappointment. To the great unfortunate. My brother mentions this very frequently. My brother is a dentist. So when people come with toothaches on Shabbos, that does not mean that it's a makshul chalal. You can be mechal Shabbos. Certainly, if somebody's got a toothache, that will not be considered a makshul chalal. It's mechal on Shabbos. So what is he talking about? You know, on Shabbos, you know, by Musaf they call it toothache. You know, so that's not considered a makosh. That's not because you certainly can't do anything on that. So what is it referring to? What does it mean? What does it mean? Makosh teeth being. What does he mean? So the Mishnah Berurah explains as follows in Sif Kotten Ches v'shinayim be'atzmon, the teeth themselves. Tahainu, i.e., heicha the koiv leiv tova, when it's extreme. Extraordinary pain, the cholokol gufa is there, and he just has to go to bed because of the intense pain. Toothache can be, I don't know if you've ever experienced toothache, bad toothache can be incredibly. Has anybody experienced real toothache?
My wife once had, it's called hollow socket or something.
What's that?
She had wisdom teeth taken out, and then there's a gap over there.
There you go.
What
is it called?
It's called hollow socket.
Hollow socket.
Like that, where it grows over the gap,
and that's an extraordinary pain. Extraordinary pain. Okay, that's exactly what Mishnah Berurah means. So the Mishnah Berurah says the koiv lev tova, exceeding pain, sharp. Heavy pain. The cholokol guf al edeze, he's not functioning normally because of that. His whole body is considered weakened because of that. Half shall enough for mishkav, even if he doesn't actually have to go to bed. Then laafuke, look at the brackets. Laafuke chashash b'alma, that excludes slight pain. Beshinov, if he's got a toothache, henelu b'chlalze, a simple toothache will not be considered. A simple toothache will not be considered in that category. But yes, somebody has got extraordinary teeth ache, extraordinary like your hollow socket that you're perhaps referring to. That will be considered a sufficient reason to mechal Shabbos. I don't know if Hatzolah has got ever calls for toothaches. No, yeah. For kol shkemachra stafinim, but my brother does say that a lot of people come to his orthodontist. They want to see to it on Shabbat. Kol shkemachra stafidnet shemischalas bepeim misaemis bivnei me'ayim, and there's another illness which is called stafidna, which I do not know what the English translation of that is. Shemaschalas befed, that initially it starts with severe sharp pain in the mouth. Umisaemis bivnei me'ayim, then it goes further internally. That is a lot of blood coming out from the teeth as well. The mechalin as Shabbos, that we call chil Shabbos.
Sounds like an abscess.
Abscess, perhaps, yeah. That's right. Now, the Mishnah Berurah does say, and what I must point out is that the poskim do point out, so the teeth, yes, I mean, teeth is considered at, the Shulchan Aruch does tell us that teeth is considered pikuach nefesh at times. What the poskim do point out is that nowadays this is maybe a little bit different. Because our dental hygiene that we've got nowadays is very, very different than what used to be in Shulchan Aruch's times and in Gemara's times. So whilst, yes, at times there can be danger of opening the teeth, but the average, it's quite rare nowadays, correct me if I'm, it's quite rare that there's real pikuach nefesh case with regards to the teeth, because our dental hygiene nowadays is much, much more developed and much more, we've come along from medical aspect. It's not so often that is real danger involved with regards to the teeth. I know that Shlomo Zalman speaks in one place about a knock tooth on Shabbos. Knock tooth on Shabbos. I do not know if what the halacha is with regards to a knock tooth. If let's say a tooth comes out altogether, would you be able to? I don't know if it works or not. I heard that it's a myth. Apparently, you can't put a tooth back in. Apparently, it's a myth. I don't know what the guidelines are nowadays, but I heard that it's a myth. You won't be able to actually put the tooth back in. If it's out, it's out, Cholila. But the Mishnah Zalman does speak about it, if you'll be allowed to put the tooth back in on Shabbos, because there's a melechus, which melech is involved in that. Putting a tooth back in, if it's Cholila knocked out. It's boina. Yeah, no, it is boina. Yes, it is. The Mishnah Zalman says, you're talking about melechus, boina medereisa, to put a tooth back in. Pardon? Yes, apparently that's a myth as well. The only reason why I know a little bit about it is because it happened to a little bit of a tooth. It was knocked out, and they all said that it's rubbish. So you can't, milk doesn't help. That's what it said. Maybe they are wrong, but that's what it said in there when I spoke to a few dentists about it. So so they said that it's maybe not, it's probably melocha d'oraisa. Why are you concerned about this?
It's surprising.
What would you say? Why would he not be minor?
It's
in Bnei Mekelim. Yeah. Okay. So it's still Misvori can hear why you are reestablishing your it's your boner, you're building something. You know, in I'm saying it just because it's a part of the body. Why would you not? Yeah. I mean, I can see perhaps. Oh no, but the Mishnah says, "Pelemaisa." As to whether that will be mutter or not, the Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't want to be matir to put a tooth back in. He doesn't want to be matir. He said because there's no sakana involved. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi, so we continue. V'davka k'shen iskal kal echel me'evorim apnim mechmas maka oibua v'chiyo itse b'zeh. Shulchan Aruch continues. V'davka, this is specifically, k'shen iskal kal echel me'evorim. One of the limbs, one of the evorim, one of the parts of the body got ruined, got damaged, got hurt. Evorim apnim, the internal part of the body got damaged. Machmas maka, because of a wound, a bua, yeah, wound. Avol mechushim, eini koe maka. If a person just doesn't feel quite right, that's not considered a maka, and certainly he will not be able to be Michal Shabbos for that. So Rabbi said, we're differentiating between if that had an impact, that's really the English word probably. If it has an impact, a maka or bua, that is a serious impact, and therefore you talk about internal danger. But if it's a mechash, if it's just a feeling, a sensation that you have, that would not allow you to do any Michal Shabbos. The Rambam continues, somebody's got a toothache, and he wants to pull off the teeth. He wants to have the tooth pulled out. You may ask a goy to pull the tooth out on Shabbos. You may not do it yourself, because but you may ask a goy to pull out a tooth on Shabbos. If that's what you want to do, you can pull out the tooth on Shabbos through a goy.
Why would that not be so?
So you're talking about it could be. That it is, I'm saying, you're right. It is a melacha d'oraisa. You're asking why you're allowed to do melacha d'oraisa al yedei goy? You're not allowed to do it yourself. A yid won't be allowed to, but you're allowed to ask a goy to pull out the tooth. You're right, there is a d'oraisa involved. So you're asking, how come I can ask a goy to pull out the tooth on Shabbos? Surely you're not allowed to do a me'el anochi over d'oraisa stam. Yeah, that's the question that you're asking. The answer is that we're learning over here, in this Rama, we're learning that yes, for putting out a tooth, which is because he's in tremendous pain, and to pull out the tooth is going to help him, that's considered a refuah to some extent, or a relief of exceeding pain. For that, you're allowed to do a amir al-anochi. So we're learning there's various rules when you're allowed to do a amir al-anochi. When are you allowed to ask a goy to do malacha for a yid? And we learned one of the cases for that will be for pain. For pain relief, you're allowed to ask a goy to do a malacha even if it's deraisa. That's what the Rambam is teaching us here. Mishneh Berurah. Mishneh Berurah Sifkot Yud Aleph. Oimer, the Afagav du Pesach Piv Umamtsi Shinoi Leotzioi, although by opening the mouth and you're allowing the goy to pull out the tooth, you're opening the mouth, Kaimelon Messiah Ein Boy Mamish. So Mishnah Berurah is bothered about a question over here, an interesting sugya. It's a sugya in its own right. There is a sugya, there's a discussion amongst the poskim if Messiah is something or Messiah is nothing. Messiah means to help, to support, to aid. So here you can't just say that it's Amir al-Nochi in its own right. He can't do it without your assistance. Surely it's impossible to pull out the teeth with a closed mouth. So the Yid obviously is opening the mouth. He is therefore and thereby assisting the Goy for doing this Malocha. Does that make a difference or not? So I understand the Goy can do a Malocha for the Yid. I can hear that. But here there's something else happening as well. The goy cannot and will not pull out the tooth through a closed mouth. So it must be that Yid is helping, supporting the goy by doing this malach, by opening the tooth. So does that matter? Yes or no? This, in fact, remains himachloikas, because that's the sugya of Messiah in b'mamash or Messiah yesh b'mamash. The fact you're supporting and aiding and helping, does that make a difference? Yes or no? So the Mishneh Berurah takes on over here, the kaimelot Messiah ein b'mamash. Help is not considered significant. It's not important. The fact you're helping, you're opening the mouth, doesn't matter. That's not meaning. It's meaningless. It's meaningless. You're not doing anything. You're just opening the mouth. That's meaningless. But other posts can disagree, and they sit and they say, yesh by mamash, by helping, that is something that's considered, and that would be considered bavlocha. This is very relevant, Abba Isai. Imagine somebody is in hospital in bed. I'll tell you where it's nafkamina. A person who's in hospital, and he's not a choy l'shiyesh by sakona. And the bed is not in the right position, and it's a bed that can only be moved by means of by electrics. Now you're asking the nurse, he's in pain, he's not uncomfortable, he can't lie like this anymore, and he wants to now ask he's uncomfortable, but he's not in danger, he's very uncomfortable, he's not in danger. Now he wants to ask the nurse, do you mind to please, can you please change the position of this bed? And she says, sure, I can do that. And she comes along and she says, now the only thing is she can't do it when you're lying flat. She can only do it when you have to sit up a little bit. And only there, only once you sit up a little bit, you'll be able to move the bed. You know what I mean? Only then. So now, this is a very nice comparison, because you're not doing the malacha, it's the goy who is doing the malacha. And we're learning, you can ask a goy to do malacha. You don't have to ask the goy to melacha, but over there's something else happening as well. You're a messiah. You're helping the goy to the melacha. If you be lying flat, you won't be able to do it. So by sitting up, you're a messiah. You're helping and supporting the goy to do the melacha. Does this, is this permitted or not? Is it permitted or not?
The goy can do the melacha again, because you're all allowed to ask the goy to do it. It's not like messiah of the Varavera.
Yeah. No, it's not the general rule of Messiah L'Dvar Avera. There is a concept of Messiah L'Dvar Avera, and that's not referring to over here. Over there's a general concept, which is called Messiah in its own. It's not Messiah L'Dvar Avera, it's Messiah for the Tamir Anochi, which the Mishnah Berurah instance, and that's many, and the poskim, the Tazmung and Avon, they are bothered by that. And they say, I can hear you can do Amir Anochi. That's fine, but you're Messiah over here, you're helping him. You're physically supporting that malacha taking place. Can you do that? Yes or no? Lamais, the Mishneh Berurah is matir, not like the Taz. The Mishneh Berurah says you can do Messiah, you can help. And therefore, in our case of the bed, the halacha will be as well. That you can. And therefore, you can do that. I'm reading the words of the Mishneh Berurah again. Sivkotten Yud Aleph, Oymer, Ve'afal Gavin, although the Messiah, you're opening the mouth, Umamtsi et shinoi, and you are making your teeth available, leoitzio, to take them out, kaimelon, we hold, we paskin, the messiah to support. Ein boy mamash is nothing, is meaningless. Uvetaz ma'ich benin zeh, the Taz has an extended discussion on this matter. V'dai to his opinion is la'achmi to be stringent, avol ha'be achoinim, but many achoinim hold, taitom the opinion is, ka shulchonoch like the opinion of shulchonoch, that it is mutter and messiah ein boy mamash, and you're allowed to help in order to do a melocha if the melocha is permitted to do. Rabbi said, just to summarize what we covered this evening, we learned that anything internal is a cholish esh besakana. If it suffered a significant impact, it's a makashel chalal. With regards to the mouth, we're defining it from the teeth inwards. The teeth themselves are considered a makashel chalal as well, and teeth will allow you to do a chol Shabbos if there is real significant pain, because that's considered makashel chalal. We learned that a gentle unwellness is not considered, wouldn't be considered makashel chalal. It's not considered a makah. The Ramah does add, however, with regards to teeth, if there is a tremendous toothache and you want to pull out the tooth, you can do it through the goy, not through the deep, but through the goy you can pull out the tooth. And Amir Anochi would permit in such a case due to the pain. The Mishnah Berurah discussed the element of Messiah, and he said that we paskin here, like the Shulchan Aruch's opinion, that Messiah ain't b'mamash, and this will be permitted. Good evening, Rabbi Yisrael.